Today's episode of The Grave Talks is brought to you by HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Grave14 and use code Grave14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. HelloFresh.com/Grave14 and use code Grave14. Today on The Grave Talks, Feeling Different, a conversation with Dale Quigley. Dale Quigley grew up knowing that he was different. He didn't quite know why until he started having visions, feeling emotions that weren't his, and having encounters with people that he knew were no longer alive. These moments of intrigue would lead him down a path of searching for answers. Answers as to just what happens to us when we're gone, and to identify other forces out there that may never have walked this earth. Today we hear his story on The Grave Talks.
Like you said, everything starts somewhere, and with me, it was exactly that. It was my childhood. It was early 80s. I lived in an apartment with my mother, and my family member had passed away. And I remember it was roughly the evening before his funeral, and I always remember having dreams and things happened, but never anything too weird up until this point. But so it was the evening before his funeral, and I had a dream about him. And I was lying in my bed, and I remember hearing the foot creak of the floor. And this is where it gets kind of, was it real? Was it wasn't real?
Mm-hmm.
Was that he was standing in my doorway of my bedroom. And I looked up and I said, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm just here to let you know that I'm okay and that I've got to go away now. And I was like, okay, but where are you going? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I just have to go. And I said, well, okay. So I said, well, call me. And that was the last thing I remember.
Call me.
And then I kind of sat up in my bed, and I was like looking around and nothing. And I got up and I looked down the hallway, and right in my doorway was a puddle of water. Now, the significance behind that was that this relative drowned. So I really didn't think much of it, you know, and just thought, you know, okay, where'd this water come from? And then it was just like days later, because I just analyze everything, and it just like, that's kind of what got me started on this journey. And I always thought about it, but I never really told anybody that story until I was late in life, like in my 20s and stuff like that, because I always thought, well, people would think I'm weird if I told them that I dreamt of a relative and they left water in my bedroom. They would think, it was just a leaky pipe or something. But
sure.
At that part of the room, there was no pipes, there was no water, it was a pretty sound place. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of my journey starting into realizing that things were just, I just had a lot of visions. And then it was about another 7 or 8 years after that. Once again, I was still living in the same place. And I woke up and I could just see something floating above my ceiling. And I just stared at it for the longest time, but I had this really calm feeling about it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't make out anything. I could just see it was like a mist, but I could make out that it was like a striped shirt. It had a striped shirt on. Could never figure out what it was. After a while, I just closed my eyes and just went back to sleep. The next day I woke up to find out one of my best friends was killed that evening, and he was wearing a striped shirt. So it was, so just from that point on, like I said, I've always had dreams, I've always had visions. And it seems like when one event would lead to another, and it was just always really weird. And until I grew more and more, and then this whole phenomenon of the paranormal happened on TV or watching shows and stuff like that. I think that's what's really got me started on my journey now of investigating more and always trying to find the answer is why this relative left water behind, because most other paranormal investigators that I have conversations with when I go to conventions or whatnot, I always tell them that story and they seem to be a little fascinated by it, because it's not, you know, you always say, I'm looking for a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it gets any bolder than leaving water behind. Knowing what happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the significance of the water is very interesting, that occurred like that there. After you had that experience, how old were you when that happened?
I would say I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Okay, so you were a little kid still.
Yes.
How... You know, obviously that's quite an experience to have. And I know you said you didn't really talk about it much, you know, until you were a bit older. How are you processing all that at that time, though, when you were a little kid? I mean, when you try and look back and remember what that was like, I mean, the next day, did you say anything to anybody, or were you just kind of holding it in? What was going through your mind?
Well, the next day, no, I really didn't say anything to anybody. I was still processing the whole thing, but at the same time, I was dealing with the funeral.
Sure.
I mean, because to me, that was the first time I've ever dealt with death at the same time. I that was the first family member that I can remember passing away.
Yeah.
I to this day, I still remember like the whole event. I can't tell you what I ate last week, but there's just certain events that happened in my life. And I can recall like being at my aunt and uncle's house, you know, just the whole process on how it happened. And like I said, it was just, I never really grew up in a really religious family. But I just never knew who to tell that kind of a story to, because, you know, I know I deal with this nowadays with grandparents or parents call me up and say, yeah, my kid's talking to somebody. Who is it?
Sure.
So to me, I never really was that close to anybody to really tell anybody the story. So I kind of just thought it out to myself and just started this. Why am I able to see the stuff that I do, which I find fascinating? And I come to the paranormal as a more of a sensitive type of investigator. It's like I walk into places and I can feel emotions in events that have happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, you use the word visions as well when you're talking about some of these experiences. You know, tell me, you know, what defines a vision to you versus having an experience where it's something like directly in front of you that other people are able to see. When you say visions, what does that mean to you?
When I say visions, it's like it's a dream. I dream about events that I've never been a part of. I dream of people I don't even know. And then these events will either happen days later, or I will actually see that person walking down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had any really negative type of, like, I haven't foreseen like accidents happening or anything like that. But to me, it's just, I just dream of something and then it happens. I'm still learning it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just how I can explain it. I see it and then it happens in real life. I think they kind of explain it as like almost like a deja vu factor.
Mm-hmm.
Like you feel like you've been there, you've done this, or something that's happening at that moment. It's like you've already done it.
Interesting. That's really fascinating. So you had these experiences as a child, and as you got older, you know, you're kind of starting to accept, you know, this this exists. This is something that's going on. As you got older and as you got into your 20s and being more of an adult, what were some of the experiences that you had further into life?
As I get older, I always, I guess growing up, it was always the unknown always fascinated me. I always remember watching any shows about ghosts or reading books about ghosts and just always trying to find stuff like that. And it wasn't until one of my best friends called me up one day and he's like, "What you doing?" I'm like, "I'm not doing very much." He goes, "Well, guess what I'm doing?" I'm like, "Okay, I don't know." I'm like, because he was a guy that just did a lot of things in life and he was very successful a lot of times. He goes, "I'm a paranormal investigator." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Okay, what does that mean?" He goes, "We go on ghost hunts." And right there, I was like, "Wow, okay." And he was actually one of the first people I ever told my story to. And he was just in shock that I held on to. And we've been best friends over 15, 20 years at this point. And mm-hmm. he never even knew that story about me until he told me he was dabbling into this paranormal world. And his team brought me on some investigations. And I think then was when I realized is like, okay, maybe now I can find all those answers that I had all those years of why this family member left clues behind of them actually visiting me and why a friend of mine came to me and I could see the shirt he was wearing. Mm-hmm. So with that, I just started doing all kinds of research. I come to find that I love doing research. I love looking up history of things. I like trying to find answers and I like to talk to as many people as, because everybody in this field can help one another and maybe discovering why things happen to certain people and not to other people. Why some people can see ghosts, some people can't see them, some people can hear them, sense them, feel them, and all that. And it's just been a really wild journey. And I've been some pretty interesting places and had some really neat experiences. So this journey is far from over and I'm still looking for the answer of the puddle of the water. I hope to discover that one day. And who knows? Maybe write a book about it.
Do you have any suspicions about the water or any? I mean, I'm sure this has run through your mind various times. What sort of theories have run through your mind?
The only theory that I can think of to this day would be that they wanted to show me an absolute sign that they were there and they wanted to come and say goodbye. Mm-hmm. That's the only theory I can really. Because what other significance of water than what happened to them I would understand. I mean, it wasn't like I found a pitcher in a weird place, something else that belonged to them, because they didn't even live in the same place as me. So it was just, that's the only thing I can think. It was the water was their way of showing me they absolutely was there. And if that's the only answer I ever come up with for the rest of my life, I think I'll be quite happy with that. Like, I just feel honored that he came to me to let me know these things. And I often wonder, and I've never really talked to any, my aunt and uncle have now passed away, but I've never really talked to them about that event. So I never know if he talked to anybody else in the family or if it was just me.
That's interesting. Back to our conversation in just a moment. Our supporter today, HelloFresh. You know how much I love these guys. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients, mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. And right now, we're going to do one of my favorite seasons for cooking, fall. Skip the trips to the grocery store. Count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. I've been using these guys for years, and I absolutely love it. In the fall, it gets busy, especially if you got kids, and they're involved in this and that and the other thing, and you want to eat well and be healthy and all that. HelloFresh recipes save you time. You otherwise spend on meal planning, shopping, going to the grocery store, shopping at home. Yeah, you can get right back to what matters. Spending time with the family, getting that meal prepared, you know, fast, efficiently, and making it delicious. It's not, you know, like a frozen pizza or something. It's something that's going to be delicious, you're going to be proud of, and your family's going to be happy to eat. HelloFresh family-friendly menu is a big win for back-to-school season. Easy, delicious recipes for drama-free dinners. They offer 50 menu items and market items to choose from every single week, from vegetarian meals to calorie-smart choices to extra special gourmet options. There's something for everyone. There really is. When recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. You really should check this out. Here's some of the current recipes that I'm really excited about. The crispy Parmesan chicken with garlic, scallion, couscous, and lemony roasted carrots. Beef flautas supreme with pico de gallo and lime crema. And you know, as we get into fall, one of those things that you start to think about is, you know, comfort food. How about sheet pan barbecue meatloafs with shingled potatoes and roasted green beans? The menu is huge. You can pick whatever fits your dietary choices, your taste choices. It's all there for you with HelloFresh. You should be aware of this too. We have been using Green Chef as well, which is actually part of them. Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone. I love switching between both brands, between HelloFresh and Green Chef, and now you guys can enjoy both brands at a discount with us. So here's what you need to do. Go to HelloFresh.com/Grave14 and use code Grave14 for up to 14 free meals included with free shipping. It's HelloFresh.com/Grave14 and use code Grave14 for up to 14 free meals including free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. It's so fascinating when you have the individuals that are coming and giving like this message of, is it peace? Is it just I'm okay? This is just an opinion-based question, but do you think that when someone passes, that there's a window of time that they have to get around to do this, to do these goodbyes to the people that they want to? Because it sounds like, you know, when you had that other vision and you said, well, where are you going? And they were like, I don't know. but they knew that they were in that stage of like, all I know is like, I'm going around and saying this to people and I don't know what happens next. I mean, do you think everyone gets that opportunity? And do you think we all, you know, sometimes we miss it, sometimes we see it? Does it have to be the right type of person to get that message?
I would truly believe it depends on the way the person passes. Like my cousin drowned, so it was kind of suddenly. It wasn't like he was sick, dying of cancer or anything. Like had that time to say goodbye to his family or to anybody. So I truly believe that depending on how a person passes, that there might be like a brief moment where they want to say goodbye to the people that they love. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard of people, some of the theories are that people who die suddenly don't even realize they're dead yet. And they still roam around, still doing the things that they would normally do because they're not realizing they're dead, mm-hmm. Or past. And I could believe into the notion that maybe there is a brief moment before they cross over, mm-hmm. that they have this opportunity to, but I also believe that they know who they can go to, because they might try to appear to other people and they might not see it or want to believe it. But at the same time, they know that, okay, this person will kind of accept the message I'm about to give. Mm-hmm. So, I truly believe that there could be an opportunity to for them to do something that they really feel they need to do before mm-hmm. moving on.
Yeah. Tell me about your sensitivity and when you know, because obviously you had those experiences in childhood. How did you start to realize that, you know, it wasn't just in dreams, it wasn't just, you know, kind of one off here and there, but that you were able to pick up on things that maybe, you know, the average person doesn't?
Well, it's been something that's been building for a very long time, and I always have that feeling that I'm different from everybody else, mm-hmm. that I'm not like my family or a lot of, like, obviously a lot of my friends now are into the paranormal world, but growing up, it was just, I felt very different. And to me watching television, for instance, I have a very hard time watching the news. Because when I hear about, especially, I don't know if you heard it over where you are, but here in Canada, they've been finding these mass graves of these Indian children from these private schools. They were taken from their families, brought to these private schools. A lot of these kids went missing. Well, they're now starting to find these mass graves of these children. So they were obviously killed. To watch something like that on TV, I start to cry, and I feel the emotion of what these people must have went through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that. I've been like that for many, many years, just for no reason. I watch something and I just feel what the person on TV is talking about. And even today, like, I'll walk in a room and if somebody's crying, I'll just start crying with them. And I don't even know what they're crying about, but mm-hmm. I just feel a lot of emotions. And the same thing with investigations. If I go into a room, all of a sudden I just feel anger. I just want to smash stuff. Later to find out that the person that was in that room was a very bad person. So I was picking up on their emotions. So it's a lot like that. I just pick up on things and I feel things that it's hard to explain why, but it happens.
Mm-hmm. What was one of those early things that you remember where it really stood out to you? I mean, for a lot of us who kind of feel like that and just kind of, you know, empathetically and as an empath, you pick up on those emotions and feel them that are other people's emotions. What were some of the earlier times where that happened to you and it really stood out to you and you went, oh my gosh, what is going on here? I think I'm feeling something deeply.
I think the first time I ever, the earliest I can recall, just trying to think back, because I mean, I can remember a lot of things. I think it was the first time I ever was watching TV. I can't even remember what type of what show it was, but it was a reunion show of mothers and children. And I was watching TV and all of a sudden I was just listening to this mother's story on her hard life and how she had to give up her son. And all of a sudden he appeared. And as soon as I saw him, I just cried because I could feel how much like happiness was going on. And that's just the earliest I can remember. It was just, I believe my mother was watching one of these daytime talk shows. And I just remember sitting there crying. And my mother was like, why are you crying? And I'm like, because she found her son. I mean, mm-hmm. I, you know, a lot of people can say, yeah, that's a sad story. And, you know, that's really cool. But I just felt the emotion of what it was like to be reunited with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I've never me personally, I've never been out of touch with anybody. I've never lost somebody to a point where, you know, they were sent away and I never saw them again. And then all of a sudden, boom, they appear. I just get that emotion from what other people feel.
Yeah. Tell me this, when you've been out on investigations or just out, you know, in life in general, have you ever felt anything, you know, just at a complete stranger where you picked up on something and you had to make communication with them because of something that you were feeling very strongly about them?
You're talking alive or over on the other side?
I'm talking about interacting with a living person, but I mean, maybe it involves something on the other side that you're just picking up on with somebody.
I have had like been in a room and just been standing beside somebody, and I just felt the need to tell them like everything's going to be okay, mm-hmm. and that life is really not that bad. And I don't even know the person, and it just, you know, I just sense that they're something emotionally is going on with them, and I just feel the need to tell them that, you know, it's not that bad, it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a typically shy person, so I don't try to approach too many people. I feel more comfortable with telling people that I know. If I sense something going on, it's like I just kind of give them words of encouragement, you know. I don't even know what they're going through, but I could just feel that something is, either they're upset about something. There's times too where I feel really happy, like for instance, co-worker came into the room, and I could just feel like I felt really happy that, and I'm like, hey, how you doing, like anything exciting happened lately? She goes, yeah, matter of fact, my boyfriend just asked me to marry her. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's awesome. So I kind of picked up on her excitement and her joy and her and stuff like that. So it's kind of like just kind of do a snowball question just to throw the feelers out there. She'll open up about it. Like, I mean, well, who wouldn't want to tell somebody that they just got engaged or something really great happened to them? I think it's more people really don't want to open up if somebody just passed or mm-hmm. or stuff like that, because they're trying to hide their emotions, especially in a workplace.
Sure.
So yeah, no, there has been incidents where a person will walk in a room and I can feel their energy, and I kind of want them to talk about it, but at the same time, I'm thinking, well, if they're comfortable enough, they'll talk to me about it, yeah. And I'll be there to listen.
How did you get into investigating?
Like I said, my best friend, mm-hmm. He became a part of a team. I went out with them on a couple investigations just to kind of see, like, you know, how do you do investigations? Because at this time, it was still relatively new. The paranormal world, there wasn't a lot of shows on TV at that time. I think I can only remember Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures.
Sure.
Were the only two shows that I can remember that were on TV at that time. But like everything else, you know, you watch TV and you're like, well, really, how real is this, you know?
Sure.
I thought it was a cool aspect that, okay, you know, they're walking around in the dark. They've got these gadgets. Like, I'm farthest from being a tech guy, so I don't understand what these gadgets do. So watching these shows, and I thought, oh, that was pretty cool. And then when my buddy said that he was doing it, I was like, wow. And then they were doing some investigations and stuff like that. They were holding what they call these public hunts. So you buy tickets, and they'll take you into these haunted places, and they'll give you a little bit of history and mm-hmm. kind of show you like what goes on. And I went on some private ones at the same time, and I just thought, well, you know, this is something I really wanted to do. So I kept that always in the back of my mind, and the place I was working at the time, I was like talking to some people that I know, and I was saying, you know, I said, I went on this paranormal investigation and did all this, like used all these gadgets. I said, something I want to do. So I started buying, I bought my first digital recorder. I bought a digital camera. I bought flashlights. And I ordered a K2 meter off the internet. And so I was just talking to some friends at work. And I said, hey, I want to go to this well-known haunted place in our area. It was called Texas Road. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, let's go down there and see if we can, you know, seek out these stories we always heard growing up about Texas Road. Texas Road is one of those areas in every city that has a lot of urban legends. You hear there was a headless horseman, there's the lady in white, stuff like that. So it was always growing up. We heard these. So as an investigator, that was actually the first place I investigated relatively on my own with a couple of friends. And from that evening, I caught my very first shadow person on video. So I have that profile on my paranormal webpage of the shadow person that I caught. And I think from there, it just started rolling, and I just wanted to go start investigating all these places. So just started to do a lot of research in the area I live in on places that were linked to have ghost stories. So just called up these places and introduced myself, said I'm a paranormal investigator, just want to kind of come in and do my own investigation about some of the stories I hear. So yeah, they were all welcoming in. And so we've done quite a few in the city, and I've now branched out working with other teams and doing some places in the United States now.
That's going to wrap up the first part of our conversation with Dale in part two. What does Dale think the origin of shadow people is? Has Dale ever encountered anything he would describe as dark or evil? What are some of the most effective ways of communicating with spirits on the other side? And just what is the dark entity that lingers around the Hinsdale house that seemed to want to take Dale over? Those questions and more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our show. Sign up to be one at patreon.com/thegravetalks. Or go to our website, thegravetalks.com, and click Become a Gravekeeper. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.